It was here that Sri Thakur Bhakti Vinod resided as a magistrate for the Indian government. At the time, India was under British rule, and the temple of Lord Jagannath was one of the largest, most popular, and important holy places in all of India. But at the time, there was much whimsical behavior, corruption, very low standard of worship. Nobody knew really where the funds were going, where they were coming from. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod was given the position of supervising the affairs of the Jagannath Temple. And he was such a humble, gentle, and pure devotee that he literally won the hearts of all the pandas, of all the pujaris. And they had so much trust and feeling for him that they wanted to do whatever he so desired, because they saw that he was not in any way politically motivated, but he was genuinely immersed in lovingly serving Sri Baladev, Sri Subhadra Devi, and Sri Jagannath Swami. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur very strictly ordained policies in the Jagannath Mandir, one of which was punctuality, that there should be nothing whimsical in proper deity worship, so that all the offerings would be strictly on time for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, that there be 56 offerings strictly every day, that all of the funds of the temple would go to the glorification of Sri Jagannath Dev and the upliftment of his devotees. In this way, he upgraded the standard to be the highest standard of deity worship in all of India as a humble service to Jagannath Dev. But Thakur Bhakti Vinod's heart was always in performing the will of Jagannath. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Lord Jagannath himself. He has come in this age of Kali Yuga to teach us how to worship himself. Such a wonderful, amazing leela, that Lord Jagannath appears as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the mood of Sri Radharani, the supreme most of all devotees. And Jagannath is teaching the world by his example how to worship Jagannath. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the most effective and pleasing method of worshiping Jagannath Dev was to come together with the Vaishnavas to perform the congregational chanting of the holy names.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Although there are strict traditional principles within the Jagannath Temple that people who are not born of a upper Hindu caste are not allowed to enter the temple, Thakur Bhakti Vinod could understand that this was such a highly sensitive and deeply rooted conception that he did not want to disturb that, although he did not agree with it, because he knew that if he tried to disturb that, everything else that he would try to do would be ineffective. So we should know that according to the Shastra, all human beings who accept Krishna as God and who chant the holy names and who live according to Vaishnav principles, they are to be considered true devotees of the Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada used to say, that Jagat means universe. Since time immemorial, he is known as Jagannath. He is not known as Indian Nath, the Lord of Indians, or Bharat Nath. He is Jagannath. He is the Lord of all living beings throughout the universe. So although Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the other acharyas, they had very open, broad mind, still, the traditions of the temple are so deep and so uncompromising. Yesterday, one devotee was saying, perhaps I can arrange to get some of you foreign devotees to come in the temple. But I'll tell you something, when Mahatma Gandhi came to Jagannath Puri, they would not allow him to come into the temple. They forbid him from coming into the temple because he was teaching from the Quran. And when Indira Gandhi came to the temple, she was the prime minister of the whole country of India. She was not allowed in the temple. They said, we don't care what you're prime minister or anything. You're not allowed to come in this temple because you have married a Parsi. So if you think that you have the power to get us in, then you must have some very great power. But we find that the great Vaishnavas, Haridas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, respecting the customs of the Pandas, the Pujaris, they never even attempted to come in. So although our acharyas do not necessarily agree with this principle, because it is not according to the Shastra, nevertheless, we must humbly worship Lord Jagannath in whatever way he allows us. You see, generally foreigners are like tourists. They come in with their cameras not to worship, but just to take some photo and just to look like some tourist site. There's the Gateway of India. There's the Taj Mahal Hotel. There's Jagannath. They, in this way, they come in just for some sight to see. No. You see, generally foreigners are like tourists. They come in with their cameras not to worship, but just to take some photo and just to look like some tourist site. There's the Gateway of India. There's the Taj Mahal Hotel. There's Jagannath. They, in this way, they come in just for some sight to see, no devotion, no worship. So some temples, just to keep the atmosphere full of devotion and sanctity, they do not allow. But we find that what the great acharyas have said is those people who are sincerely dedicating their lives to spreading Lord Jagannath's glories all over the world, let them see Jagannath. But we have the chance to see the holy chakra on top of the temple. And every year during the Ratha Yatra, Jagannath comes to give his darshan to everyone, to the dogs and to the birds and to the trees and to animals and to all varieties of human beings. So we are very fortunate to be in this holy dham of Sri Jagannath Puri. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such devotion to Jagannath and Jagannath's mission of spreading the chanting of Harinam throughout the entire world. But Bhaktivinoda could see that the human society had become so degraded. And he remembered Sri Advaita Acharya, how he had a similar feeling of compassion and love, and he prayed to Lord Krishna to descend. And as a result of his prayers, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu incarnated within this world. Thakur Bhaktivinod was very deeply learned in the scriptures, and he was a Paramahamsa devotee who descended from the spiritual world himself. He knew it was not his place to call for the Lord to descend, because the Lord descends according to scheduled times in the scriptures. When Advaita Acharya was calling for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it was the time for the Yuga Avatar to appear. So Bhaktivinod was crying out with great love and tears of compassion, "My dear Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Dev, please send one of your own personal associates to help me in this mission of reestablishing the true teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spreading the holy name of Krishna throughout the world." So it was here, at this very place where we are sitting, the house of Thakur Bhaktivinod in Sri Neelachala Kshetra Jagannath Puri, that the prayer of Thakur Bhaktivinod was fulfilled. And the most exalted, illustrious, Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa descended from the spiritual world, and his name was given Bhimala Prasad. When he was born right here in this very house, he manifested all the signs of a Mahapurush, a great personality. His umbilical cord connecting him to his mother was wrapped around his neck and his chest, exactly as a Brahmin wears his sacred thread. When he was just an infant child, hardly a few months old, the Ratha Yatra took place, where Lord Jagannath's cart is taken and pulled by hundreds, thousands of people from Jagannath Mandir to Gundicha Mandir. At that time, Bhaktivinod Thakur was out of station. And when Jagannath's cart came, it spontaneously stopped right in front of the house of Bhaktivinod Thakur. Jagannath did not want to move from that spot. For a long time he stayed. So Bhagavati Devi, the wife of Bhaktivinod, was thinking, "This is a wonderful opportunity that my baby child be given the darshan of Jagannath." So she brought the little baby, and right up the steps of the rat, and just as she put his head close to the feet of Jagannath, the child reached out his hands and touched his feet. Shri Bhimala Prasad ki. And just as he was touching the feet of Jagannath, a big, beautiful garland fell from Jagannath around his neck. Shri Jagannath Swami ki. Shri Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Prabhupada ki. So this was very amazing. And when all the crowds around saw this, they all began to cry out, "Hariva! Hariva!" They cried out, "Hariva! Hariva! Hariva!" And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard this story, with his sublime spiritual vision, he became very satisfied. His heart was leaping in transcendental ecstasy because he could understand that this was Jagannath's confirmation that his desire had been fulfilled, that this was the empowered soul who would establish bhakti throughout the world. This child was so extraordinary while living here in this house. One time, Thakur Bhakti Vinod bought some mangoes to be offered to his family deities. And the child, hardly 4 years old, ate one of the mangoes.
Rio!
And Bhakti Vinod, wanting to teach him the proper principles of Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mishchati, that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. He said, in a very gentle but loving way, with little chastisement to his voice, he said, "My dear son, this mango was meant to be offered to Krishna, and you have eaten before Krishna. This is not to be done." And the child, although so small, he became so upset that he began to weep, that "I have taken Krishna's mango and I've eaten it myself. I vow I will never eat a mango as long as I live." And our Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada would tell us that from that day he never tasted what a mango was for the rest of his life. Even when he was an old man and people would come and offer him, when he was an old man he had tens and thousands of disciples. If a disciple would come and offer him a mango or any visitor, he would say, I am an offender. I cannot accept this." Such determination. He was so determined to assist his father. He was such a scholar that he excelled everyone in his school. And he never even studied his school books. Whenever he was home, he would just study his father's writings on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the essence of the Vedic literatures. But just from whatever exposure he had to other books in the school, he became master at every subject. In fact, he became the most learned astrologer in all of India. He even wrote a book, Surya Siddhanta, which was considered authority on astrology throughout the land while he was a student. But after he started his spiritual mission, he completely gave up astrology. He said, "It is all karma kanda. If you take to Krishna bhakti, that's all that matters. You don't have to worry about any of these other things." He did not want to divert anyone's attention for even a moment from having complete faith and dependence on Krishna and Krishna alone. Anyways, when he was just a student in high school, he started a samaj, or a club, where he gathered his friends together and they all took lifelong vows of celibacy. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki! So that they could completely immerse all of their attention only in Krishna bhakti and never be diverted by anything else. And he never gave up that vow. He was the perfect Naistika Brahmachari throughout his entire life. When he was just a young man, his father, hardly a young man, grown boy, his father, he was traveling very widely and preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya. And at one time, there was in Midnapur, I believe it was, there was a conference of learned Brahmins, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was asked to speak on the subject of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. But Bhaktivinoda was very sick, so he sent his young son to give the lecture on his behalf. And all of these Brahmins, practically all of them, were smarta Brahmins. They were Brahmins by name and by ritual only, but not in spirit and in qualification. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Bimal Prasad, he began by explaining through so many scriptural references the glory of the Brahmins. And all the Brahmins were thinking, yes, he is glorifying us. He is appreciating us. He is loving us. Everyone who hears this lecture will really feel that we are the supreme gurus of the world. He was glorifying the Brahmins in such a way. And after, for some time, he began to explain what the real qualifications of a Brahmin are and what a Vaishnav is. And if one doesn't have these qualifications, he's bogus. Then they all realize that he's talking about us. And what is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmin, because a Vaishnava has understood the Siddhanta, the essence of all scripture. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva bhapebhyo mokshayishyami masujaha. To surrender to Krishna, to be an instrument in the loving hands of Krishna, to be his eternal servant. So after that lecture, thousands and thousands of people were crowding to touch his feet and receive his blessings. And those learned scholars who were not qualified for their positions, they were completely silent. They were scared to death to try to challenge the authority of this young boy. Later on, Sri Thakur Bhaktivinoda moved his family of 10 children and wife from here in Puri to various places, Krishna Nagar, later on Navadvip, Godramdvip. Just 3 days back, we were at his house in Godramdvip. And there, along with Jagannath Das Babaji, Vora Kishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda was completely immersed in glorifying Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna. And after Bhaktivinoda left this world, and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji left this world, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he considered that what is the hope for the world now that these great saints have left? And he made vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna in Sridhar Mayapur. He was not concerned with anything but just weeping and crying in separation from his beloved masters. But some devotees who understood his power and influence, they told him that the mission of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, the mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is in your hands. You must give it to the world. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself appeared to Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and told him that you go out and you preach the glories of Harinam. So he went to Calcutta and he began 1 month. He was just renting a small house on Ultadanga Junction Road. And there he was giving Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita classes. Gradually, very intelligent, very sincere souls began to dedicate their lives to his mission. Very, very high quality, empowered living beings began to surrender to his lotus feet. And on his order, were traveling throughout all of India preaching. Of course, we know on one most historical evening, Sri Abhay Charanaravinda appeared and surrendered his life on that very night to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And that illustrious personality was our own beloved Gurudev, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, to go back a little, after Gaurakishora Das Babaji Maharaj and Thakur Bhaktivinod left this world, when Bhakti Siddhanta decided that he should perform this great preaching mission, he sat before a picture of his own Gurudev, Gaurakishora Das Babaji, and he accepted the sannyas vows. And then he became known as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And all of his disciples lovingly addressed him as Srila Prabhupada. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they are our great grandfathers. We should know that Bhaktivinoda, he planted the seed for the holy name of Krishna and the mission of Lord Chaitanya to grow throughout the world. In fact, it was Bhaktivinoda who in his writings predicted that someday devotees from Europe, America, Africa, South America, they will all come together in Sri Navadvip Dham with their Indian brothers and sisters, and they will all raise their arms and very loudly immerse their hearts in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he took that instruction, and by his empowered desire to fulfill the dream of Bhaktivinoda, he ordered Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to go to the West. And we know on the basis of the divine grace of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinoda, Srila Prabhupada has given our life a purpose, a meaning. He has given us all the ways and the means by which we can perfect our lives in pure, unalloyed love of God. And we have come here to Jagannath Puri to fulfill the dream of Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod, because it is their dream that we become pure devotees and that we assist in spread Mahaprabhu's mission in spreading pure devotional service throughout India and throughout the world. So this is why we have come to Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, to rejuvenate our inspiration, our faith, and our commitment to becoming pure devotees and assisting these great souls in their mission of spreading pure devotion, unalloyed, uncompromised devotion to the Lord through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We do not want to come to Jagannath Puri like so many millions upon millions upon millions of pilgrims that come every year. They come simply to enjoy a vacation, or to see the beautiful form of Jagannath and to consider that this is a pious activity, or to ask for some mundane benedictions. We have come with the prayer of enriching our lives. We have come with the prayer to Jagannath to allow us to surrender to his lotus feet and to surrender to the service of his devotees. We have come to enrich our hearts with bhakti. We don't mind if there is some austerity. We have come for purification, and Jagannath Dev knows best how we can become purified. But in all circumstances, we want to serve the Vaishnavas. We want to pray to the Lord for the upliftment of all humanity. He is Jagannath. Whatever religion, whether one is Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Jain or Parsi or Buddhist or Hindu or Vaishnavas, whatever religion, we should know that Jagannath is the Lord of the universe. He is the one Supreme Lord who is the God of all the great religions of the world. He takes many forms and many names to give his mercy to various classes of his devotees throughout history. But he is Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. And we pray that by his kindness and his mercy, he allows all of us together to be instruments, puppets, to disseminate the highest benediction of prema, pure love of God, through the chanting of his holy names. So it is so fortunate and appropriate that we can be here at Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's birthplace, Bhakti Vinod's house, because here, before continuing in this yatra of Puri Dham, we should beg for his blessings and we should put into clear focus why we have come, what our purpose is. Our purpose is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Bhakti Vinod, of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, and of Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. To be the servants of the servants of servants of such great souls is the greatest fortune. It is the greatest gift of Lord Jagannath upon us. So let us continue on in this wonderful yatra with the prayer that we may purely chant the holy names and serve the Vaishnavas. At this time, by our good fortune, we will go to Siddha Bakula, the place where Thakur Haridas lived for so many years, the place where he chanted continuously 300,000 names of Krishna, 192 rounds every day, the place where he would meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu each and every day. What better place is there to chant Hare Krishna mantra than at the very lotus feet of Thakur Haridas? And we should know that these are eternal leelas, that Haridas Thakur is eternally residing under this Bakula tree, chanting Harinam. So today we have the fortune of chanting alongside with Srila Haridas Thakur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So we will sit beneath the Bakula tree and chant Harinam for about, we should all finish our 16 rounds there very attentively, very enthusiastically. And then if you are not so tired, then we can go to Gambira. Otherwise, we can rest for a few minutes, then go to Gambira, Mahaprabhu's residence. Then we will bathe in the sea. Those who want to bathe in the sea, those who want to rest can rest. This yatra, we are not pressurizing. Anyone can do as they like, but we're just telling you what we recommend. Take bath in the sea, and then come back for prasad. And then in the afternoon, so many wonderful places we will go.